Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a very, very special show for you this morning.
Woo-hoo.
First of all, this is our one-year anniversary show.
It's exciting.
We've been broadcasting for one full year, so congratulations, guys.
Woo-hoo.
It's like 50-plus episodes.
Yes, way plus. we are here in the windy city, kicking off ASI Chicago. I almost said Orlando, but
in Chicago. We're in Chicago, Melinda.
We are in the windy city. Today is Education Day, and we've got an action-packed show for you today. We have a very special guest here, Tim Andrews, President and CEO
of ASI.
Thanks for joining
us
today.
Thanks for welcoming me.
We have Dave Vagnoni, our senior editor from Counselor Magazine. Dave, where's Andy? What did you do with him?
He's teaching something right now. He's trying to inform people about the industry.
Actually, we have lots of our editors leading sessions today for Education Day. Dave, you've got a session at 11:30?
I do.
You're talking
trends
about
trends and sales tactics about five fast-changing markets.
And what are some of the fast-changing markets?
Education is one.
I know. Financial
pharma,
is another.
Pharma, healthcare, tech is in there.
All right.
And entertainment is a good one. I have some ideas about beach balls.
That's great.
Stay tuned.
Ideas about beach balls.
Yeah, that's great.
Key. We have Michelle Bell here, editor of Supplier Global Resource. Thanks for joining us, Michelle. And I know you are leading a supplier lunch today, free on the trade show floor. What's the topic of that session?
I am. It is a session with top-selling industry distributors, and they're going to share secrets and tips for how suppliers can win their loyalty and get more business from them. So I'm excited.
And I think we have more than 300 suppliers signed up to attend.
How about that?
So that should be great. We have Joe Haley.
Why is he taking pictures?
Videoing us right now.
Yes,
very
I am.
Interesting. I guess we don't have our normal webcam.
No, we don't.
Joe, you are also leading a session at the end of the day today. Tell us what that's about.
It is the power of promotional products, ASI's groundbreaking study, and I have statistics to give to everyone, and how they can overcome 12 client objections.
That's great. And Tim Andrews, you're headlining today at the Million Dollar Sales Summit at 2:30.
Absolutely.
That's exclusively for Million Dollar Sellers, and you're going to talk about our Q2 sales survey.
Yeah, second quarter survey, what we found out people were talking about, how it looks for the rest of the year.
And we'll have a preview of that this morning. Joe, give us the show lineup.
You got it, Melinda. Industry educator Lisa Leach is stopping by to chat with us for a little bit. Michelle has the best and worst marketing ideas ever. Dave has a look at federal and state legislation that will have an effect on gifting of doctors with ad specialties, so you'll want to stay tuned to find out what's going on there. Michelle also has five ways to raise money for your business right now. Melinda, you're going to give us a preview of all the fun, exciting things going on here at ASI Chicago. Should you hire a social media expert? Dave has the answers for you, so stay tuned. Pizza Hut launches one of the most eco-friendly ads ever, and I have all the info on that. Michelle will let you know if you're suffering from make-the-sales anxiety. Hmm. And if we have time, naturally, I have something to get off my chest.
Naturally.
But first, the industry news. Dave.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Good morning and welcome from the Windy City. We begin with the exclusive ASI second quarter sales survey. It reveals industry revenues fell 14% in the second quarter of 2009 compared to 2008 revenues during the same period. The second quarter decline amounts to $678 million in total. So far in 2009, revenues have slipped $1.4 billion. However, maybe a sign that things are improving, the 14% second quarter drop is markedly less than the 18% first quarter drop. More on the survey coming up momentarily. In other news, Florida Governor Charlie Crist tours Bic Graphic USA. The Republican leader of the Sunshine State met with Bic employees, learned about the ad specialty industry, and held a roundtable discussion with local business owners. And finally, today marks the beginning of ASI Chicago. Throughout this morning and this afternoon, there are dozens of free education sessions, plus a special supplier lunch, a lunch and learn. And the day, of course, culminates with the 2009 Counselor Awards Banquet at the Field Museum tonight. All this and much, much more in today's promogram, so watch out for that a bit later today.
Thank you very much, Dave. We're going to pause for a message from one of our show sponsors, I Promote You. When we return, we'll talk more about the second quarter sales survey.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities at ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are talking about our industry second quarter sales survey. And joining us this morning is Larry Bassinet, who is ASI's Director of Research. Tell us a little more about the study. Now, Larry, overall industry sales were down how much in the second quarter compared to last year?
That's right, Melinda. We saw that our industry sales declined by 14% in the second quarter versus 18% the first quarter of this year.
Okay, and what was the segmentation in terms of company size for that?
What we try to look at is distributors that are making less than $500,000 in revenue versus those at $500,000 up to $1 million. And then the largest group would be those that are making $1 million plus. And what we saw was that the smaller ones saw less of a decline. They were in the high single digits, about 8% or so. The larger ones, who make up, say, 80% of the industry revenue, saw the largest declines, more like 15%. But again, these aren't good numbers. You're not happy to hear these, but it's all better than what we saw in the first part of the year, and certainly better than the free fall we experienced in the last quarter of 2008.
This is consistent with the first quarter where, again, the smaller distributors saw less of a decline. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, how about, I know you do the same survey for suppliers. What did you see on that side?
Similar trends in that, not good news. The decline there was 18%. For the quarter, but we saw 21% in the first quarter of this year. So, again, negative numbers, much higher than we wish they would be, but a little bit better.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Larry.
Sure.
Tim, you've been talking to a lot of distributors and suppliers about these numbers. Is this consistent with what you're hearing in the marketplace?
It is. I think this is what really distributors are saying to me. I mean, I think they had a pretty tough end of the year last year, tough going into the first quarter. Things have been rebounding a little bit. And I think the outlook is much better for the second half of the year. I mean, I think what distributors are finding is they really have to get out there. I talked to a distributor last week who was on the road and is as he referred to it, doing the old-fashioned thing, which is he's, you know, calling on people in person, cold calling.
Pounding the pavement.
He says that's really gotten him a lot of business. He walks in, people haven't really visited people in a while. You know, we sometimes fall back, and we're going to talk about social media in a little while, but we fall back to this voicemail, email trap, and we forget that the really important thing is that personal interaction and trying to really understand in person what the person's problem is, business problem, and how you can help solve that with promotional products. So that's I think something that a lot of distributors have to think about, which is sort of going back to some old tried and true methods, which is getting business by going out there and finding it.
I think another thing that's important is, you know, a lot of clients have frozen budgets, but I think, you know, they're thawing at any time. And so a distributor can't forget about someone who maybe last month said, oh, I don't have the budget for it. Well, it could be a whole different story this month.
That's right. I think you've got to market all the time and be in constant contact because you never know, you know, what you know today is about a client. If you haven't heard it in the last week or two, is not what the client's really maybe thinking today. And that's really important to get it out there and remember that. And the other piece is you need to move people's budgets from other things to promotional products because perhaps they've frozen some of their marketing, but maybe they've decided to skip that company picnic this year because they don't really want to do that. But maybe they'll reinvest that $20,000 or $30,000 in marketing to get more revenue. So I think there's ways to get budget dollars. It's just you have to sort of look around and try to find out where, you know, what department maybe has the money.
So you'd be a little more strategic.
Absolutely.
Now, what about the difference in the survey between distributors and suppliers? We've found consistently that distributors report a little bit more optimistically than suppliers. Is that something that you see as well?
I think that's, you know, that happens, and I think there's also sort of a lag. You know, the distributors are out there doing proposals for business that they expect to be booking in the next, you know, 4 or 6 weeks. Because by the time you do a proposal, let's say you use ESP, you do a proposal, you send it out to the client. You may take a week or two for the client to make the decision, then you place the order. So it sort of makes sense that there'd be a little bit of a lag time that suppliers are going to see business come back a little bit slower than maybe distributors do. I think it's great for the suppliers to hear that distributors are having a little bit better time. And I know there's been some big distributor meetings in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and certainly they're ending on really upbeat messages as well. So I think that's good news for what's going to happen in the second half of the year.
Yeah, that definitely bodes well. Well, Tim, I know you'll be talking more about this at 2:30 for our Million Dollar Sales Summit.
Absolutely. Thank you, Melinda.
Now, Michelle Bell is going to talk about the best and worst marketing ideas, not just this year, but I guess ever. Is that
of
right?
Of all time.
Of
and
all
there
time.
Are some, there are some good ones.
This.
Okay, so the best making of, trying to make the best of a bad situation. That award goes to Las Vegas, who took their Sin City image and turned it into what happens here stays here. And that was, as we all have heard that campaign and seen those commercials, a wildly, wildly successful campaign. Because what they did was they focused on something that everybody knows. I mean, it is Sin City. And they kind of played that up with kind of like a wink and a nudge. And it just took off. And their tourism, by the way, has been up consecutively, even in a bad economy, for 3 years now.
I think that's smart because I think at one point, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, they tried to go family friendly.
Totally,
that
family
did not
yeah,
work.
It didn't work
so,
because
yeah.
Vegas is what it is, and
yeah.
I think that
stick
they
stick to your core competencies.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, best logo. Any ideas?
Nike
ASI.
Swoosh.
The Nike swoosh.
Swoosh.
ASI is a good choice though. So, did you guys know that Nike paid a Portland State University graphic designer $35 to design the swoosh?
Where is that graphic designer today? Right?
So they call that the most easily recognizable logo in history, the Nike swoosh.
That's why I guessed.
That's good.
And that's the best use of promotional products, Entrepreneur even named that. Anybody?
Colin Powell, because he uses promotional products.
Joe?
Lance Armstrong.
The Livestrong wristbands, which we know that people in our industry have used to great success. Our friend Charlie Johnson from Snugs. So that really took off. So they're saying that for that alone, that it started such a grassroots effort. And people, it just, you know, and as we all know, different charities took it over too. Breast cancer has the pink bands. Autism has a color. So that really kind of took off. A worst example, that would be bidding for baby naming rights. Do you remember that?
Who did that?
Yeah. There was a site in the .com area. It was golddigger.com. I think they would sell off body parts and baby naming rights.
But what? Who would name whose baby?
Well, they would pay you, for example, Melinda.
To name your baby. Like a company name.
Yeah. And another company, Golden Palace, what they would do is, for example, if I let them tattoo the name of their company on my forehead, they would give me like $10,000.
But did anybody actually do that?
Yes, there are a lot of dummies out there.
With a tattoo on their forehead.
There are a lot of dummies out
there. And there was one guy, do you remember that company Snorestop? A guy tattooed Snorestop on his forehead.
Was it permanent or temporary?
It was permanent, but I mean, I guess you could have them removed.
Well, Golden Palace works with boxers, and they put a temporary tattoo on their back, real huge, for boxing matches.
So. Well, temporary is one thing, but permanent is a whole different story.
So you would not tattoo your forehead?
No, I would not tattoo any part of my body for any amount of money.
You don't have a little ASI on your thigh?
I don't know. I've thought about it. I don't have any tattoos. How about you, Melinda? Do you have any tattoos?
I'm tattoo-free. I think one of us, yes, Michelle's.
I have four.
She raised her hand. Oh, and how much do people pay to have their names on you?
How many of them are logos?
Not nearly enough.
Any other worst marketing ideas?
Yes, we do. We have many. And, you know, by the way, if you go to our website at asiradio.com, I'll have these all up on our website. The TV show Aqua Teen Hunger Force, do you guys know that show?
Is that with the milkshake and the french fries?
Yeah, it's on Comedy Central. They sent out a small electric light board to a lot of broadcasters in Boston, and it caused a bomb scare.
Because it was ticking
and lighting. Yeah, thought it was a bomb scare.
Seems not a good idea.
Who was the organization that gave out the brass knuckles? We just reported about that
recently. They were illegally shipped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, how do you know the Aqua what?
Aqua Teen Strike Force. It's on Comedy Central. Oh, okay. It's during the Adult Swim, so it's a little more sophisticated, as I use air quotes.
You're not watching this at like 6 in the morning with the
No.
You know, there is one more, and this just, we've talked about this before. I love companies like Starbucks, for example, who tell you to go to their website and download a coupon, and they don't anticipate the number of clicks
Kentucky
they get,
Fried Chicken
and they
the
get deluged
thing.
With people, and then they stop taking the coupon, which is like mystifying to me.
That's just bad.
Yeah, bad idea.
All right, thank you very much, Michelle. Dave now is going to give us a report on some new federal and state legislation regarding gifting of doctors with ad specialties. What do you got, Dave?
Well, that's right. This is becoming a really significant issue because we're not just talking about federal legislation now. We're talking about state laws that are pending. And the theory, of course, is that politicians don't want doctors to get special favors or kickbacks from gifting pharma companies that are trying to sell their products. And kind of caught in the tide are promotional products. Vermont, for one, passed a law that effectively banned promotional products from pharma companies to doctors. But sort of a case study for a new idea, Iowa recently granted an exemption for promotional products, and it happened because you had leading Iowa distributors go to the politicians, spend a whole year lobbying and explaining their point of view, and what happened in the end is the politician said, okay, this makes sense what you're doing. We're going to grant you an exemption because it's good for business. So if you get together and work together, you know, within the industry, you can affect positive change. You can kind of stem the tide, at least on the state level, what's happening right now.
Thanks, Dave. And I know ASI has made some strides in terms of encouraging people to voice their opinion on the Physician Sunshine Act, Tim.
People should check out my blog on asicentral.com. There's a link to my blog, and Dale Denham, one of our colleagues, authored a piece, and we're doing a lot more promotion about what's going on, especially on the state level, as Dave said. It's really difficult. You know, we do not want to be in an industry where we find ourselves marginalized in our ability to sell products. And people, you know, who are listening really have to get involved. And if you haven't checked out my blog site or checked out, you know, the Advantages magazine or Counselor magazine for the columns that Dale authored, you really need to get involved and get serious about this because this could really harm the industry. And we certainly don't want to sit back and wake up one morning and find out that half the industries we sell to have, you know, effectively been taken off the list of people we can reach out to because of laws that are really uninformed. You know, people are knee-jerk, and they have people come in and they say, here's the solution to something. And unless you're there to tell your side of the story, and we are there to tell our side of the story, you're left out. And the politicians don't often know. You know, it's interesting to me that there's not a politician in America that could get elected without promotional products, probably. Signs and pins and all sorts of things and lapel pins. And yet, you know, they seem open to this conversation. And so once you sort of put it into their perspective, you know, I think they start understanding what's going on. Iowa's a great example. You know, we had a lot of people out there. You know, the Vernon Company was very involved, lots of people very involved in explain to politicians out there, you know, what this really meant from a business perspective and also how it limits the ability for people to do business, because we know that this is a great product set for people to use. It's a great return on the investment. So the alternatives are much more expensive and much less effective than promotional products.
Do you think for some of these politicians it's simply a lack of awareness of, you know, of these smaller items
so.
And the
I
value?
They don't realize how big the industry is and how important it is and how many people in the United States have jobs that are in this industry and how important it is. You know, it's a very entrepreneurial industry, and I think we also are, you know, loosely organized. And so there aren't any very large organizations representing a large market share. And so there isn't someone to sort of step up. You know, we don't have an IBM and a Dell. And so there aren't two or three or four big organizations that can afford to step up and to lobby. And so we each have to individually say to ourselves, you know, who do I know in my local community and what politicians do I know and how can I, you know, help explain what we're doing?
Very much. Thanks very much, Tim. Check out Tim's blog on ASICentral.com for ways that you can voice your opinion on this important legislation. We're going to take a pause for a moment to hear from our sponsor, Golden Pacific. When we return, Michelle will tell us five ways to raise money for your business.
Golden Pacific products represent the highest quality, finest craftsmanship, latest designs, newest fabrications, and the most relevant feature content you'll find anywhere. Their line includes a variety of new products, styles, and color offerings to carry any brand to the next level. With GP products, your brand is assured years of advertising exposure. Give your brand the recognition it deserves with Golden Pacific. They are currently offering free ground freight on dozens of items. For all new customers, they also offer 10% off products on your first order. Please check their website out for details or email info@golden-pacific.com if you have any questions.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We are broadcasting live from Education Day at ASI Chicago. And Michelle Bell, you are going to tell us five ways to raise money for your business.
Yes. Well, you know, of course, with the credit crunch going on right now and banks are not so generous with their lending, here are five options for people. First, you can seek a microloan. And small businesses with reasonably good credit have a fair shot at getting a small line of credit, usually up to $50,000 from a microlender. And in cases like this, the microlender doesn't focus so much on a credit score. They look at other situations and other aspects of the company's business. Second, use your assets. As banks have pulled back on lines of credit, asset-based lending has leapt forward. You can get a secure line of credit against eligible receivables in which the lender fronts you 85% of the total. So that's an option to try. Turn to the web. For a small amount of working capital, try peer-to-peer networks online, which marry lenders and borrowers over the internet. Number four, go around the big banks. And this is something I've been hearing a lot lately. If you go to a smaller local community bank, if they know you, they tend to lend more money. They're not as, for lack of a better word, kind of corporate and sterile and hard line in their approach. So you might want to try that. And number five, and this is something that we've talked about on the show before, sweet talk your vendors. Talk to your vendors if you're having credit problems. A lot of them would be more than happy to, if they can, to set up payment plans with you and work out. I mean, they want to keep you as a client. If you're a big distributor, they want to keep working with you. More often than not, they will offer, you know, flexible ways to help you make the payments.
Thank you very much. And we're going to put these tips on asicentral.com/radio for people who are interested. As I said, we're reporting live from ASI Chicago. Today's Education Day. We're going to give you some highlights over the next 3 days. One big highlight today is our new distributor success track, which is a full slate, a full day of classes for new distributors. And one big thing that we're doing in that track this time is that we have a brand new distributor success kit we're giving out, which is a 10 CD learning system. It's a crash course for new distributors on how to do business from the industry. If people attend 3 classes today in that track, they will get the system completely free. So that's one great highlight. Tim, we said that you are speaking at the Million Dollar Sales Summit today. What are some other things that people can look forward to at ASI Chicago this week?
Right. We've also got the Council Awards this evening, which is really a great venue. It's a ticket-only event, but if there's still people that are interested in buying tickets, we have tickets available. It's a black tie event with the top 40 distributors and suppliers. We announced the Person of the Year,
now,
the International
person
of the
year.
I'm not telling, Melinda. You have to come and try to wait through and hear it to the end.
I can't wait.
So we've got a Person of the Year, International Person of the Year, Entrepreneur of the Year.
Tomorrow night, a new kind of gala. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've had a gala every year at every show. This year, we're trying something a little new. Michigan, of course, and Chicago have great waterways, and so we're going to be on a boat tomorrow night with 550 industry participants and having a good time. We've got a cocktail party beforehand and then a full dinner on the boat. And we've got a waiting list there for people that want to join that because, of course, the boat can only hold so many people.
Of course.
And a couple of hours out there and then back for another cocktail party before people
and
adjourn to their hotels.
And I understand as people sail in, they're going to have fireworks at Navy Pier.
Yep. So there's fireworks at the end, and we're very excited. Yeah.
That's great. And you'll be on the boat.
I will be around the boat.
Not sure you can.
I'm gonna,
your swimming skills are suspect.
A little suspect. We have 550 people can be on the boat, so I'm probably going to let a customer, a distributor
space.
Or supplier, take my spot.
Well, it sounds like a great time.
And you can shoot off the fireworks.
I'm going to be on the fireworks side, yeah.
Hey, guys, we have a special guest. Lisa Leach just came in. Lisa's one of our great speakers here at the show. She does some classes in the new distributor success track I was talking about, plus some other courses. Lisa, tell us about, I know your new product showcase is one of your popular ones. You talk about that, a lot of creative ways you use promotional products. Tell us about that and some ways that you tell people to incorporate ad specialties with direct mail campaigns.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for being a part of the ASI Radio. Certainly, I think the power of promotional products is the most effective way in order to be able to get new clients or reinforce the power of promotional products, and a direct mail campaign is a great way to be able to do that. I've had great success in doing direct mail campaigns, more so with my business that I do now than when I was selling promotional products. But you can come up with a great direct mail campaign that's very strategic and creative to reinforce your message. And based on the ASI survey that was conducted last year, what over 80% of people who receive that direct mail campaign will recall that direct mail campaign with the logo on it. And then what I suggest is integrating that campaign with a sales strategy. So you come up with a great direct mail campaign. For example, here's one we've done, back to school, back to business, and you send out lunch pails. With report cards. Are your salespeople getting A's on their sales report cards? And then typical 2% response rate, we sent out 100 of those and we got one phone call, one email. I was absolutely devastated. But when I started to make the phone calls and people going, I love the lunch pail. It's still sitting on my desk. I haven't had a chance to be able to call you. So again, it's great for distributors to be able to integrate that marketing and sales strategy, pick up that phone and again, be able to reinforce what your message is and what you can do to be able to help. And it's a great way to be able to reinforce how promotional products do make a lasting impression. As part of those stats, over 60% of the people will buy from that company who sends out the direct mail campaign, and they'll keep those promotional products for over 7 months. So again, I recommend that you think of a promotional product that will stay on somebody's desk. Perhaps a great travel mug, coasters, notes, whatever it may be, right beside their phone. So every time they're thinking about calling somebody about promotional products, they think about you.
Great. Well, good tips from Lisa. Thanks very much. We look forward to seeing you at the show this week.
Thank you, Melinda.
We talked a lot about on this show about Facebook and LinkedIn and some of the other social media out there. And so this begs the question, should companies hire a social media expert as they're kind of leveraging this new technology? Dave, what's the verdict?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of toss out four questions, and I know Tim has some strong thoughts on this. So this is going to help you decide, should you hire a social media expert or not? The first question is, do you have the knowledge? Do you have your own personal Facebook page? Do you know what Twitter is? Do you use LinkedIn? So knowledge is number one. Second, do you have the time? Do you have the time to come up with your own blog? Or do you want to spend more time on sales or marketing management some other way? The third is, what audience are you trying to reach? Who are you going after? For example, if one of your key markets is technology, social networking is probably something you really want to be tuned into. And the fourth question, it comes down to money. Do you have the money to hire someone? Although, Tim and I were talking, and I think this is a reasonable point, maybe you hire an intern that you don't have to pay as much, or you bring in someone that's part of the younger generation of your family that can get involved in the business and help in social networking that way. And Larry pointed out before he just stepped away that ASI has also recently conducted a study
to find out, you know, among members the uses of social networking, kind of where it is and where it's going to go, and those results will be out next month. So, Tim, thumbs up or thumbs down? Should you hire, based on those questions?
Now, you gave us a thumbs down.
But I know.
Have I convinced you?
I think it's sort of like hiring a typist, you know. There are certain things that we all have to, you know, realize that we have to spend time on, and one of them is understanding social media in whatever form it is. And I think bringing in an intern, having someone, if you're a generational family, you know, with a family business, I think that's a great way to bring in, you know, a teenage member of the family and get them involved in the business, understanding the business so they can then present it and help on the social media side. But I think people have to really get comfortable with it and sort of understand what's going on.
Yeah, the key is I think you have to reach out. I mean, you're not going to lose leads by trying social networking. You can only gain them. So if you reach out and you feel comfortable, like you're saying, it can only help your business.
I think one way it could hurt your business, though, is I think you'd be very careful about what you put out there. Because a lot of people, you know, they get a little lazy, I think, and they sort of think they can put anything up. And, you know, then suddenly they're posting photos of something that maybe they don't want to have photos out there for their customers to see. So I think you have to think about its audience just as it is anything. Sure. Anytime you're doing something, you have to think about the audience that's watching you. So I think you'd be careful what you say, you know, how do you say it, you know, whether it's appropriate or not to have customers and prospects thinking about.
Yeah, and I would say stay away from strong political or religious views.
Right
off the bat. They don't belong.
And that's stay away from the hard sell. I mean, when you're just pitching. Purely pitching your products, using it as that kind of thing.
People are going to
totally tune you out.
Yeah, they tune you out. They're going to defriend you or something on Facebook.
Yeah, I know that you're on Facebook, Tim. What types of messages do you post up there that are kind of
the pictures.
Business related?
I would say some business and some personal photos so people can sort of get to know me a little better.
You need to show off your personality a little.
Yeah,
bit.
I think people want to know. You know,
sure.
I mean, I like to garden, so I've got some pictures of my house garden. And then from a messaging perspective, you know, I'm pretty careful, I guess. I talked about I was going to be at ASI Chicago this week and how excited I was about little things of that. You know, one of the innovations we have is that we're going to be serving donuts at breakfast, you know, at the ASI show this week in Chicago. And so
because,
I put
as you
up
said, everybody loves a donut.
I think everyone loves a donut. So I put that up as like a fun little thing. It was an idea that I sort of threw out there. We'll see if it works or not. But little things like that, I think you have to be careful about the personal pieces because while these are friends, if you start exposing it to a lot of prospects, a lot of customers, you have to say, do I want people to know that I'm away? You know, you really have to, you know, sort of stop yourself and make sure that you want everyone on that list to know whatever you're posting.
You can also have a personal Facebook page and a business Facebook page, and you could kind of separate it that way.
Yeah. Some people do that. Now, most importantly, you mentioned a garden. What's growing well and what's not for you right now?
What's growing well and what's not? I would say anything that's blooming is growing well. We've had a lot of rain in New Jersey, so lots of good stuff. You know, anything that doesn't like a lot of water and doesn't like wet feet is not doing so well in New Jersey right now.
I guess if we want to see pictures, we're going to have to friend us.
I got lots
of
photos.
If you accept our friendship,
yeah. Well, maybe I'll accept you, Melinda. We'll see.
Thank you. All right. Well, we talked about a lot of wacky ads here on the show, and today Joe's going to talk about something new with Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Has anyone seen the commercials for the Pizza Wars? The New York pizza versus the Philly pizza versus the LA pizza. Well, what they did in that city, they actually put stencils down on sidewalks and they got a power washer which just shoots high-pressured water onto this stencil and they made their ad. Dirty sidewalk, cleaned out the spot that was the ad, lifted the stencil up. So it's absolutely the most eco-friendly thing you're ever going to see. Because a power washer, since it's under pressure, doesn't use gallons and gallons of water. It's just pressurized water.
But they use water rather than water.
They used water. In Philadelphia, they used water. In New York, they used water. Probably they used water out in L.A. too.
In Indiana, what did they say?
Water.
Okay, great.
Water, okay.
Thank you
very
much.
But it's most effective is water.
To
be clear,
the water
is the most effective.
I'm still back on the idea that they have pizza in L.A., so that's, you know.
Yeah. I thought it would have been Chicago, would have been one of the
Thank you
cities.
Very much, Joe.
You're welcome.
Here's something salespeople suffer from occasionally, and that's making the sale anxiety. Michelle, what is that, and how can we avoid it?
Well, salespeople right now, of course, more than ever, are under so much pressure to hit their quotas and make their sales. And they're suffering from kind of like a stress syndrome right now. And there are a couple tips you can watch out for if you're in sales. Presentation sickness. And what that is that you're so anxious to make the sale, you find yourself running through endless features and benefits and kind of blah, 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 in mind-numbing detail, so much so that the audience that you're trying to reach has tuned you out. Blocked ear infection. This means that you're talking so much, you're not listening to what the client wants and needs.
You need to check out the listening issue of Advantages magazine.
True.
Because they have a lot of, there's actually a quiz in there to tell if you are talking too much.
Which issue was that?
The listening issue, July.
July.
You weren't listening, Michelle.
Obviously not. Very she good. Had blocked ear syndrome. Sorry, what's the last one?
Now you see me, now you don't virus. And this is, you make the sale, but then disappear to move on to the next one. You don't serve your customer with good follow-up or client care.
Okay, well, those are three mistakes to avoid if you want to make the sale. Luckily, we have just 1 minute left, which is just enough time for Joe
Get ready.
To rant.
All right, let me tell you something. Yesterday, we flew in from Philadelphia, and I was one of the last groups to board the plane, and I had a carry-on luggage that will easily fit in the overhead. However, all the overhead was filled with small, tiny bags, and people had room. There was so much room under these chairs, and I was so disappointed that I had to take my bag back to the front of the plane and get
it tagged. I was with them. It was not pretty.
It was not. And, you know, I like business travelers. I think they're better than vacation travelers because vacation travelers think that everyone's at their beck and call. You know, business travelers are very efficient. But yesterday on the plane, too many laptop bags up in the overhead. I had to check my bag, which I didn't want to do. So if you're traveling, if it fits under the chair in front of you, please put it there. That's it.
That's a shame. That's and you'll be flying home Thursday at what time? So we know.
So everyone out there should avoid
it. If you're on the airport. If you're on the United 6 o'clock flight leaving O'Hare for
Cranky
Philly.
Joe. Avoid Joe. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening today. We are out of time. Thanks to our two show sponsors, I Promote You and Golden Pacific. Be sure to tune in for two very special ASI radio shows live from the show floor tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock Central Time, and again on Thursday. Thanks, and have a great day.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Melinda.